Check, check. Hello. Thank you, everyone, for coming to Malama Kauai's 20th anniversary, and it's now time for our candidate forum. This is County Council Candidate Forums. Candidates, if you'd like to grab a chair behind me right now, is a good time to do that. No pushing, no shoving, but grab a chair. Note that there are 34 total candidates, I believe, running for county council, and 18 of them have come to speak with us today at this forum here at the Philippine Cultural Center. I do want to give a huge, big, giant mahalo to the Philippine Cultural Center for having us today and hosting this event. If you need a restroom, it's right through these doors right there. There's also all of the resources and everything outside, and clothing swap, plant swap, makers fair, because Malama Kauai is good at all of these things. So we're almost there, almost full. So the format for today, because there's so many of us and so little time to get through, there is going to be four questions, and you will have 1 minute to answer them. And it's a very strict thing. Aria here is going to be holding up a time minutes, and what have we got? 30 seconds, 15, and pow. So do not go over time, to be respectful for everybody. Also, because we have four questions, 18 folks, we don't have enough time for what we need to do. So if you don't have a minute answer, then maybe like cut it so we can get to all of it, you know. So I also want to thank everyone very much for running for county council and taking this big step for that. And okay, there's also a lot of candidate information that you can find. There are several different organizations that are making educational pages. If you want to find more about your candidates, they're going to have their websites and all of their information on those. You can check the Kauai Chamber of Commerce. You can also check Kauai Community Radio. We are teaming up with a website called KauaiVotes.org, where everyone can introduce themselves as candidates, and also all of the recordings that we have of county councils, you can listen to it podcast style on that as well. So Kauai Community Radio is recording that today. And my name is Annie, and I will be passing you the microphones today. And I want to introduce Aria Juliet, who's our timekeeper. She's from HAPA. And also Annie Fredericks. She's the executive director of HAPA. So if there's anything else.
I think we can get started. So welcome to all the candidates. Thank you all for running, for being here. I'm going to jump right in, and I will start with Paul Naboru Applegate, who will be the first respondent. The first question is, what is the single most impactful thing you've done for Kauai that demonstrates your previous work and commitment to the community?
Well, thank you much for the question. I would feel this, the single most that would show my leadership, my effective leadership ability, is that during the 2018 floods that impacted the North Shore of Kauai, I was the incident commander during those 7 months, bringing resources, recovery efforts to Kauai, being in charge of the federal, state, and local recovery efforts. If I had not done a good job during that time, I would have been removed from that position, and somebody else would have replaced me. But I feel that my leadership role would probably be best example would be during my time in the incident command.
Mahalo.
Paul Applegate.
And please feel free, candidates, to reiterate your name, because we don't seem to have name tags, so I just want the audience to get to know you today. Thank you so much. And our next respondent is Michelle Kaleohi Correa. And I'll just repeat the question. It is, what is the single most impactful thing you've done for Kauai that demonstrates your previous work and commitment to the community?
Thank you. I have worked for the County of Kauai in Parks and Recreation for 17 years. I work as a site manager at neighborhood centers on the west side. So I started in Koloa in 2008, and I currently cover Hanapepe, Kaumakani, and Waimea. And in this space that I work in, I have helped the community directly. The neighborhood center is an open space where they would come in with issues and concerns, and we can work through them as long as they were a county issue. If they were not, we referred them to the state or the federal partners to do that.
Thank you so much. The next respondent is Councilmember Errol Kaneshiro. Would you like me to repeat the question?
I think I got it.
Okay.
So my name is Errol Kaneshiro. I think the single most thing that has been the most impactful, I've been on the county council for 10 years. I've been the budget chair for 10 years. We did pass a reserve fund policy where we started putting a lot more money into a reserve fund for when we have emergencies such as the flooding on the North Shore. We've also did a structurally balanced budget where we weren't trying to use lapses to balance the budget, which has made the budget a lot healthier. And I think the biggest thing we did was pass general excise tax, and it's never a great thing to try and pass a tax on to people, but with the general excise tax, we're able to get over $25 million. Right now, it's over $30 million worth of money into the county to do roads. Prior to that general excise tax, we're saving $1 million each year and going out to bid in 2 years and spending $2 million on roads. Now you've seen the benefits of that general excise tax. Malavia Road, Koloa Road, Olohena, you've seen it all around the island, all of the resurfacing that the county's done.
Thank you. Our next respondent is Umi Martin.
Hello, my name is Umi Martin, and I'm a farmer out in Kekau. I've been farming for about 20 years now. So I started farming by myself. YouTube was my teacher. And so as I started to learn more with tropical fruits, I thought it was important for me to share what I was learning with other people. And so I spent the last 10 plus years doing workshops around the island on plant propagation and just sharing my knowledge with other people and hoping that we can do our part in growing agriculture on Kauai. And so that's where I've been dedicating a lot of my time recently. I'm also a business owner on Waimea. And just being a part of the community is important to me, and reaching out and talking with our people. So thank you.
Mahalo. Our next respondent is John Matos. And there was a request from the audience if candidates would stand up when they're speaking.
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. The question was, what is the single most impactful thing you've done for Kauai that demonstrates your previous work and commitment to the community?
So first of all, the single most, my name is John. Everybody know me as Scooby. Scooby gonna be on the ballot. And I can go down to say the single most thing that I've done for my community or anything. I would say that I try to live my life every day, the way I make my decisions, the way I treat my family, my children, in my community. Anybody that know me in Kekau, come ask me for help, I'm there. And I can narrow that down to a single most moment. I was a paramedic or EMT and firefighter for 16 years. I saved a few lives, and that really was one feeling that until you do it, it's really extraordinary, and I love that feeling, helping and whatever, and I can spread that further if I elected as county council. Thank you.
Our next respondent is Todd Ozaki, and there was a request. Also, please hold the mic close to your mouth so that the people in the back can hear you well. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Todd Ozaki, and the single most impactful thing for the community, I'm going to start with one from the heart, and that's going to be coaching. I've been coaching youth for 15 years. Developing their confidence and life skills is definitely one of the most gratifying things I've ever done. I continue to do it today, and I bring that same energy to my work and what I'll bring to the county council. I'm going to use just a little bit more of my remaining time to say, I know we'll get into some of our resumes, I hope, with other questions, but the single most impactful thing I've done with my work kind of piggybacks off of the GET that Mr. Cosmo Kaneshiro brought up. And through my work with the current administration and in public works, we've delivered 250 lane miles of brand new road in the last 6 years, which is a huge step, and thanks to the increase in the GET, but also took a ton of effort, a lot of relationships built, and a lot of coordination, and again, I hope to bring that experience and energy to the Kauai County Council. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Can you just pass the mic to the right to Dane Smith, please?
Okay, I'm Dane Smith, you guys. So the most impactful thing I think I've done in my career based on the work I've done is been an affordable housing advocate. A lot of people know my backstory is I'm a retired fire captain and how that affects it, but through the mentorship that I got in the fire department, that kind of fostered a sort of a drive to pursue affordable housing advocacy all through my career. And the last couple of years, I've actually been able to start working with the Hanalei Initiative in Hanalei, developing an affordable housing project there for lifeguards and teachers, using the skills that I gleaned. Not that you'd expect that coming from the fire department, but the decision-making ability and then just the time to spend learning about the whole affordable housing landscape and how best to kind of apply that to Kauai's need here so much so. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Our next respondent is Taylor Shigemoto.
Good afternoon and aloha, Kauai. Thank you very much for coming out today. It's because of you that this is all possible and Malama Kauai. I'm 51 years old. I spent over 25 plus years dedicated to working in the banking industry. I have several things I want to share and how I gave back. Because I only have 1 minute, I'm going to focus on this one for now. In all my career, I've done multiple presentations, coaching, education, teaching, in trying to provide our members the best products and services for the most economical, nominal, and cheapest prices possible. I feel there's so much related in what I learned in my banking career, mostly with credit unions, that overlaps with the county in trying to provide the best services to maximize every penny that all of you pay in your taxes. I'm so excited. Aside from being passionate and loving this island, I'm ready to give back.
Okay, our next speaker is Keola Ka'imi Na'awau.
Aloha, everyone. My name is Keola Ka'imi Na'awau, candidate for County Council. My single thing that I've done for our community is, actually I have multiple things. I am a coach for Kapaa Pirates, which is my grandson's little league team. I also was a coach in high school for Kapaa High School girls softball back in the day with Scott Kawi. I am currently an employee at the state of Hawaii, which takes care of our beautiful airport. Also, I'm a bus driver for Kauai Bus. After I work at the state, I drive bus and I do paratransit to pick up our elderly and deliver them to the places that need to go. Thank you.
Mahalo. Next speaker is Nelson Mukai.
Okay, my name is Nelson Mukai. I'm a candidate for Kauai County Council. The single most important thing I did over my last 8 years was first I ran for County Council in 2018, and I wasn't successful, so I went into education. So in the last 8 years, I've been at Kapaa High for 5 years and Waimea High for 3 years. So I feel like I made a difference at those schools, and that was my most biggest contribution to the island of Kauai and Niihau. And I'll continue to do that if I elected. I made my education my top priority. I've been coaching, so I know a lot about the kids and stuff, how to handle kids. So, one day at a time, I'll do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is John Montemayor.
Testing. Yeah, hi. I'd like to acknowledge my Filipino descent. So my name is John Montemayor. My dad came from Pagasinan back in the early 1920s, I think. So anyway, mabuhay to all you folks. I do my early retirement, so you know, I've seen a lot of things happen in the community that I didn't get involved in because I was working. Had to survive. But I can remember when I was you know, go to Teal Davies. We had to make a decision in 92, and I stepped in the council meeting room upon the emergency meeting, and we had to make a decision because we brought in all those generators for the military, I think it was, and obviously generators was a hot commodity back then, so I had to go back to the office, report to my superiors, subordinates, and we had to make a business decision how we're going to divide those machines up because it was paid for the military, but the county needed it, so mahalo guys.
Thank you. Our next respondent is Herman Wilson.
Hi, aloha, everybody. My name is Herman Wilson. Before I answer the question, that's why I'm running for council. I want to have an impact on Kauai, and I want to, represent my side, which is the west side, but, the entire island of Kauai. But besides that, the impact that I have is I support children and kids. I belong to several different organizations. I belong to the Shriners, where we support a lot of kids throughout the state of Hawaii. I also do foster parenting, which I cannot take the credit for. It's me, between me and my wife, we have about 15 years as foster parenting, and we support a lot of kids throughout the whole island. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Yelena Oakman?
Yelena Oakman, thank you so much for coming over here and taking time today and see that you love and care. I do love and care. I've been here for 20 plus years. I'm the mother, and I care a lot about safety and homes and people on the street, mental health, addiction, and I kept going to county meetings from the beginning of the year. I was on each county meeting. I was going through the budget, and I was there to testify for the homeless programs, and I was the only one there to testify. I'm not trying to boast, but since the question was asked, that's the difference that made that next day we had 25 people testifying, and there was increase in the homeless projects for 1 million. And then also like addictions and mental health, 500,000. So hopefully this money will really wisely find the programs with the community together with government to take care and make Hawaii safe again. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Skylar Workman.
Hello, my name is Skylar Workman. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot that I can really advertise for. I spend a lot of my life trying to gain stability, and this year is when I'm the most stable. I'm no longer having to worry about that kind of thing. What I can say is that I've started my business, my bakery, in order to give back to the community in a way where there's supplies for more affordable products where everyone can benefit except just me. What I advocate for is to build at least a web of sustainability for the island where we're not all just relying on ourselves, we're relying on our community as a whole. My goal is to make sure that everybody has a way to access what they need to in order to grow stronger on island so that our kupuna and keiki don't have to worry about their future.
Thank you. Michael Kutz.
Oh, hi, everybody. Mike Kutz. The most impactful decision of my life for the community of Kauai would be in this room with you guys right now making a decision to run for county council. I lost my leg to a tiger shark when I was 18, and life since then has been traveling the world, working on global shark and ocean initiatives, along with what I really enjoy, and that's helping the disabled and handicapped community. But I feel that the community of this island is where my time and talent is most needed. This island's at a turning point, and I think that's why everybody behind me is here, and really looking forward to it. I know the impacts, the responsibility and the kuleana of being on the council. And if elected, we'll do my absolute best to represent you guys, and mahalo.
Mahalo. Our next respondent is James Trujillo.
James Gerard Trujillo, for the record, running for council first time. Most of you know me as Jimmy Trujillo. On the ballot, I'll be Jimmy T. That's a tough question, the single most thing that one does impact. And it's really, I think, a testament to all of us here that this work that we're trying to do, it's impactful. And whether we get elected or not, we're all trying. Thank you guys for being here to inspire us to be your representatives. I can't really say one thing. What stands out is being in the water in the Super Ferry days organizing that protest. And I looked across the way, Mr. Jantang Brugenkate was the first person that greeted me when I got out of the water. And it was the most exciting day surfing for me. And there's been better days since. The biggest thing, though, it's the apiary at KCC. It's still going on. We've got a lot of beekeepers. And there's a big buzz about bees in your backyard. We're going to have a little bit more talk about that. Jimmy Trujillo.
Thanks. James Langton. James Langton.
I know, but you're next.
Oh, is
sorry,
James here?
You said James?
James? Is that the...
Not here.
Not here.
A-H.
No? Okay. Trikey Fernandez.
Hi, guys. My name is Trikey. I like a tricycle. Some people have a hard time saying that name. I've been a funeral director, and helping grieving families through the process of death care has been both the most challenging but the most rewarding thing I've done on Kauai. My background is a little unconventional. I am a grad student at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley. Luckily, it's mostly online, but my thesis is on the desecration of sacred land in Hawaii. And I've been fighting the good fight in the academic world, and I intend to fight the good fight back home. I yield my time.
Thank you. Is there anybody who we missed who... I think we got everybody. Great. Okay, we're going to move on to our next question. Have you read the Kauai, the 2030 Kauai Food Access Plan? And if so, what will you do to support the plan if elected? And we will start with Taylor Shigemoto.
All right. Just the other day, I had a very good conversation with a dear friend of mine, Ms. Perel, from the Hawaii Food Bank, who shared that Hawaii has a 32% insecurity rate, which means 463 individuals was affected in some form or fashion in 2024 and 2025. Surprisingly, that same 32% is here on Kauai as well, which equated to about 23,000 individuals being affected by the food insecurity rate. One of the other things I wanted to share on that first question was, in my journey with the different credit unions, we have spent many hours working with the food banks, Hawaii Food Bank, Kauai Independent Food Bank. I will continue to advocate, to legislate anything we can do to get food to our Kauai residents, support the local farmers, and do as much as we can to keep the food on the island. Thank you.
Thank you. Keola
Ka'imi Na'awao. Hi, Keola Ka'imi Na'awao. Again, to answer your question, I have not read what you guys offered. I didn't have time to read it. But I am a big advocate of food supporters here in Kauai. I have a lot of friends that work at Kauai Food Bank, also the Independent Food Bank. And yes, I do believe that if we can give this food to our people, it will totally help with any needs that we can have. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker is Nelson Mukai.
Hi, can you repeat the question?
Sure. Have you read the 2030 Kauai Food Access Plan? And if so, what will you do to support the plan if elected?
Okay, I haven't read the plan, but I think as far as agriculture, we got too much coming from the outside and not enough from Kauai. And I think we got to support the local farmers. I think we got to replace coffee or sugarcane, all those other plantations that came to Kauai. And I didn't get the question, so I'm not real sure on what to focus on, but I think we're buying too much Costco produce. Other than that, that's all I have for now.
Sorry. Thank you, John Montemayor.
Can you
you please repeat the question?
Sure. Have you read the 2030 Kauai Food Access Plan? And if so, what will you do to support the plan if elected?
Yes, I have read the article in the local paper. And as far as agencies with food, you can ask Mr. Pomero, Vice Pomero, and the staff. I was hanging out working there for a while. So I really support the program. It's really needed in the community. You know, everyone needs to eat. Food prices are high. And I'll do my best to support all of these good agencies within the community, whether it was food or clothing or shelter. I'm all about the Kauai roots. We'll be making Kauai decisions. Thank you.
Thank you. Herman Wilson.
Hello again. Yeah, I do support 110%. I've been there myself having a hard time. I know what it is. All these different organizations, like on our end, we have Nana's House. And me and my wife, we do donate, you know, every once in a while, canned goods or whatever it is that they need of. I never read the article, but I am 100% behind the food bank. Thank you.
Thank you. Yelena Oakman.
Well, being on the island, we really need to focus on being sustainable and finding the way how we can grow our food and also how to educate kids, how to teach them how to grow food. So I would love to go to schools and also talk to teachers and find a way how we can start early, how to teach them how to grow food. And also for the local farmers, the local housing, farm housing is a big question. It's not easy to grow food in Kauai. Everybody say that, oh, it's a lush and easy, but I know. I took an agriculture course at the KCC 17 years ago with Joseph. He was the master of the gardening. And he was teaching, but it's not an easy. That's why, like, we need a lot of attention. We bring more people awareness. Talk to communities and support. I've seen in this the paper that I read, there only 26, 27 people showed up. I just want to see, like, not that many people were represented by each district. So I was wondering why. Maybe we need to bring more awareness to that.
Skylar Workman.
Actually, I did read it outside. I was surprised, actually, because a lot of what you guys are pushing for is stuff that I'm already hoping to do. I'm a big supporter of farms. I'm really into utilizing resources we already have that we don't use. One of them being kind of breaking down certain materials, like eggshells can be turned into calcium acetate, which can be used for taro farms and growing better patches. I'm also hoping to add more community markets, as well as my big dream, essentially, is to set up like a food court style system that supports local businesses, and the supplier for that would be local farmers, where it kind of go into a wholesaler system where, you know, everything's kind of essentially acquired there, and it would involve in a lot of teaching for anyone who wants to get into the business.
Thank you. Mike Kutz.
Aloha. I did not read the plan and intend on doing so. It seems it's a failure in government that our most vulnerable are going hungry, especially being on a garden island. And like was mentioned, farming is difficult. I grew up on a citrus farm, and I know the challenges. It seems to me, for example, the DOE, we should have fresh produce for all the kids. We should be working with fishermen, with farmers. That would give a consistent source of income and revenue to these farmers. They would know, okay, all year long, we've got demand. It really seems, if anything, it's a failure in government, and those are one of the big things I would love to work on, if in the county council. Thank you.
Thank you. Jimmy Trujillo.
I'll be honest, I haven't read the whole plan. I've got a chance to open it, got the AI visual or survey or summary, and that's as far as I've gotten with that. I think the work that Malama Kauai has been doing, it's a testament that you guys are all here, the community shows up because food is so important. We are gonna be facing with some difficulties coming back to the idea of sustainability, growing our own food, creating that market. Mr. Kutz got it right there. Our schools are a big consumer. Our kids get fed in the schools, and if we're able to do the work that we'd like to do, comes from cooperation at the state level. Senator Kochi's been doing a great job to be able to get the DOE working with our local producers, because there's some bureaucratic stuff that happens at that level, and county government could help with making some of those regulations, some of those hurdles a little bit less daunting for the producer.
Thank you. Trakey Fernandez.
I have to say I am a little disappointed in the candidates. I did read all of it and took notes, and I would expect everyone here to also do the same. On page 16 of the plan, it states, plans and goals are only as impactful as those who commit to acting on them. How can you commit to them if you don't know them? I think overall, the one thing that we need to do is reduce that 84% of people who don't even know that this program exists. Thank you.
Thank you. Paul Applegate.
Thank you, and I did read the plan. Thank you. And what I want to say is that I do agree with the goals for this year. I think those are very noble goals, and they're measurable, so they're very achievable. In my 25 years at the Kuwait Police Department, I did see my share, unfortunately, of food insecurity in the community, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to be a council member. Is I told myself someday I want to be in a position where I'm able to make more of a difference. My hands are tied as a police officer. I can do what I can do. And I would be supportive of the recommendations, and how it could help is with more access to water, the recommendations that are on there. Thank you.
Thank you. Michelle Correa.
Aloha. I have read the plan, and I commend Malama Kauai for first of all, for going out and doing the research in the community, getting the community's support to build this plan. The plan is simple. They want to offer healthy fruits, vegetables, healthy food to Kauai. And in that, they support the farmers. And the plan has worked from Keiki to Kupuna. My mother is 92 years old, and she has been a beneficiary of the food boxes. My children at elementary schools are beneficiaries of fruits and vegetables that come in through this program. I love that they have opened Olohena and will be expanding farming there, and all of the different services that they do for Kauai, but more importantly, the county has funded these programs. Mahalo for that.
Errol Kaneshiro.
Errol Kaneshiro, I have read the plan. My family's been in agriculture for four generations. Actually, one of the meetings was actually at our ranch. Our ranch has over 1,000 sheep. We also have hemp and a CBD facility there. And, you know, as far as the plan goes, I support a centralized kitchen. We were just in D.C. We saw the D.C. centralized kitchen. The centralized kitchen will help provide local produce to the to schools. All the food will come out of that centralized kitchen. On the council, we passed a bunch of ordinances. We have the ag retail stands, which allows farmers to sell directly from their property and get their produce directly to their customer. We recently passed ag dedication changes that goes into effect now. So if you have an ag dedication, please look it up. With that, farmers are taxed fairly. It expands allowable uses, and it also taxes meat packing and processing facilities as ag versus commercial. They're there to help us. Why are we going to tax a slaughterhouse that is taking our cattle so that we can market it at commercial?
Thank you. Umi Martin.
Hello, Umi Martin. So I've been farming out in Kikaa for the last 10 years. I have an 18-acre tropical fruit farm. I mostly grow mangoes and citrus. I did read the farm plan. I read it when it first came out. I read it again last week and realized I already read the plan. I support it, and I feel like I'm doing my part. So I mentioned I put on workshops to help educate farmers, and the reason I do that is because I feel that the main bottleneck in growing agriculture is experienced farmers, and that is what we're really lacking. And so sharing and trying to find that farmer that I can pair up with, right, is a selfish motivation in that I want to find five other mango growers so that we can hurry together and grow the industry, right? And so that's what I'm working towards, and I'm neck deep in agriculture. So thank you.
Thank you. John Matos.
I read the plan.
at least 10 times. 1 minute is absolutely not enough, so I'm not going to talk about the plan. I can tell you guys, I did read the plan. Come talk to me afterward. I get plenty of input on the plan. It's broken down into mokus. The West Side Kauai is the biggest moku on Kauai. And the most absolute tied up land that is not in use, using our tax dollars for fight the fires, clean up the trash that's thrown on the West Side. And I'm sure it's the same in other areas. But as far as the plan, Umi, you was invited to the West Side Moku. You guys did go to Waimea High School. And
I don't know.
I mean, you guys, I like the plan. I love the plan, but I get plenty of input for that plan. We should have invited more. We get so much farmers and ranchers on Kauai. They should have been. I wish I knew. I would have gone to that meeting. excellent plan. Did you guys read the plan? Go read the plan. Come ask me questions. I get choke input that I can add to that plan, but 1 minute is absolutely not enough.
Thank you. Okay. Todd Ozaki.
No, thank you, Todd Ozaki. So yes, I have read the plan, and what I do, I want to congratulate you on creating such a robust study, and then that also comes with an action plan, which is always very important. As far as how I would support it as a council member, I think we need to be realistic on what council can actually do. So I would support it in the same way I would support small business, and that is try to remove barriers. So removing barriers meaning the council can fund responsible initiatives such as these and other things that support small businesses. Removing other barriers like faster permitting, and then also focusing on infrastructure. I think infrastructure is the single biggest thing that impacts all of us. Having reliable roads, water, wastewater, things that don't interfere with our daily lives allows us to just go about our business and let the experts do what the experts do.
Thank you. Dane Smith.
Hi, Dane Smith again. Yes, I did read the plan, and I actually really enjoyed it. I want to commend you guys. It was fantastic, I thought. I liked, again, the moku divisions of the way the plan was set up, and what it reminds me of is something, the Hanalei Initiative, where I work now, we've kind of termed this thing where we try and take on projects community-led, government-supported, and that's kind of how that plan looked at each moku and what they had to offer, and then finding those correlations of things. They were all asking for the same input. We have the components, but how to connect them, right? It was, you know, for years we've had fishermen that if you can get on their list when they catch, right, that's one of the most special things you can get. It's just how do we apply that to more people so we get those things that we already know how to do. So working at the council level, I'm not going to say that I'm going to get good at farming. I'm one of those people that can't get a cucumber to, you know, like, I would ask Umi for that. But as being supportive, I'm always going to be, you know, we all support food production locally. So thank you.
Thank you. Third question, if it was up to you, what would you change about the latest passed version of the county budget? Or what are some key priorities you would advocate in our future county budgets? And we're going to start with Trikey Fernandez.
I am concerned about the commodification of our culture. I would allocate funds and programs to restore stewardship to land, to be teaching in schools. And I think I'll yield back at that.
Thank you. Okay, next speaker, James Trujillo.
James Trujillo, I'm going to just throw a big curveball. I think we should maybe not have a mayor's office, and that the mayor's office is right now the administrative of the county government. And if we were to rethink things and maybe have the council be the deciding body and develop the budget, and then have the council be, if you will, overseeing through their committees the divisions and departments of a county government, so that every 4 years we don't have to go through this rebuilding, this election, and the department heads are going to get changed, all the workforce gets a new boss, and I don't think we need to do that every 4 years. I think we can do better, and our budget process, it's very convoluted, and it's convoluted because of that, and I think there's ways that we can improve on it.
Thank you.
It.
Michael Kutz.
It would be money for the houseless community. I commend the current council for raising that. I believe it was at $500,000, and now it's, I think, $1.5 million, if I'm correct.
it's an issue we've got to take care of our most vulnerable, and it doesn't just affect them, it affects everybody in this island, and I strongly feel we need to have a solution, somewhere for them to go, and not just pushing them from one beach park to the next beach park. I really think we should mirror what's going on the west side of Oahu and in Waimanalo and find leaders in the community that want to take on this responsibility. It's a huge responsibility, but we must take care of our neighbors, of our kapuna. These are people that are, you know, facing addiction issues, or they're having a hard time, or just seeing and having two jobs and still can't even put a roof over their head. It's a huge issue, and I think more money needs to be allocated for that.
Thank you. Skylar Workman.
Can you just repeat the question?
Sure. If it was up to you, what would you change about the last passed version of the county budget, or what are some key priorities you would advocate in our future county budgets?
My biggest issue with the last passed county budget is that, as nice as affordable housing is, a lot of the people who it's built for can't actually afford to be a part of it. I've been told that even if your family members try to pass it on, you yourself still have to qualify for that affordable housing. And we have $34 million that was dedicated to it. That's $34 million that could be dedicated to community projects that would actually help the community, help build better sustainability within the next few years that we have, instead of just dedicating it to construction of infrastructure, of buildings that we can barely afford to, well, our infrastructure can barely afford to maintain it. We don't have a good water system, we don't have a good landfill system, we're just building, but there's no production of things that actually help the community. So as nice as it is, I honestly think we should do better.
Thank you. Yelena Oakman.
Well, I was at the budget meetings during the county, pretty much every meeting, and that's why, like, I knew about this $500,000 for homeless, only 500,000 for the whole island, and we had $9.2 million for the convention hall renovation. We had $5 million for skate park, and I would definitely try to increase in that budget towards homeless. Even though we came and we testified and we got $1 million and $1,500 for mental health and drug addiction, I would definitely look into drug addictions even more, because this is a big issue, and find a way how we can find professionals, how we can support professionals to help here. Also, I would say the cesspool and septic transition, 2050 is a big question. And I remember one of the meetings there was information about the modular system that is less expensive and possible for Kauai. I will look into that, and also youth programs.
Thank you. Herman Wilson.
Hi, aloha, Herman again. I think that's a question that I would be able to answer if I would be elected as one of seven county council members and see firsthand what you're up against. Cannot say that the council now not doing the best that they can do, you know, with the budget. Of course, more affordable housing is needed. They should open them up to not only first-time home buyers, but second, third-time home buyers. You know, with the council and the mayor clicking and working together, I think that would be a big improvement. Thank you.
Thank you. John Montemayor.
Can you please repeat the question, please?
If it was up to you, what would you change about the latest passed version of the county budget, or what are some key priorities you would advocate for in our future county budgets?
I'm going to go for the first part, not the or. The last understanding I had from some kind of information I got, I think, was verbal from our current mayor, Derek Colcomi. I think next year's budget is going to be $376 million. For me to elaborate how to spend it correctly and what direction and how to allocate it, I cannot do that without looking at a good spreadsheet. I'm going to look at this in a business point of view. The numbers have to be crunched, and the numbers have to be diversified in the correct direction. And, you know, I'm not a person that I'm going to shoot from the hip. It's all about numbers. So I'll look at it in a managerial point to run it like a business so that it doesn't exceed the budget. Aloha. Mahalo.
Thank you. Nelson Mukai.
Okay, this is a good one. Let's see. What was I going to say now?
Wow.
I'm a thinking man, so I have to think a lot. But I'm lost for words right now. I've been thinking too much. But well, the budget. Okay. Let's see. Wow.
Budget priorities.
Right. Budget priorities. Okay. I think I go to all the meetings at the county council level, and we have to do all we have to prioritize our issues, you know, like solid waste. We have to do all the issues that come up during the meeting. You know, we have to tackle those problems one at a time, and sewer and all that. Yeah, okay, thank you, sorry.
Thank you, Keola Kaimina'awau.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Sure. It was up to you. What would you change about the last passed version of the county budget, or what are some key priorities you would advocate for in our future county budgets?
Well, the key priorities I would shoot for is, for the homeless community, because as a bus driver, I take homeless people from one end of the island to the other end of the island, and they barely can pay their fare. And they live from section to section in each community. They don't just stay here in Lihue or in the trees. They come out and try to venture out to find different places. So I think I will kind of change the budget on that for the homeless community. Also for the date, 2050, for our cesspools or septic. To change that, it costs a lot of money just to change it from cesspool to septic. And I don't think a lot of people can afford $35,000 to change their the cesspool to septic. It's not going to make that time frame. I just wanted to advocate on that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Taylor Shigemoto.
I actually think this county council did a great job in balancing the budget. Correct me if I'm wrong, Council Member Kanashiro. I think we ended the fiscal at $498.5 million total. And with that said, I was very happy to hear how initially $500,000, as mentioned earlier, was only $500,000 was dedicated for the homeless, but the county did approve to take $1 million from the skate park and add that to at least give them $1.5 million for the homeless. Now, $1 million is not enough, but my number one platform is housing. And I'd love to talk to anyone who wants to hear more about it. When I break it down, it's looking at availability, affordability, and homelessness. Now, I love the mayor. I love him with all of my heart. I have a picture, if any of you want to see, where we used to skate when we were young. But with that said, I think more of a priority is our homeless, because they're dying now. Skaters and pickleballers will not die if we don't make the park yet. Thank you.
Thank you. Dane Smith.
Okay, so for the budget, what I would change in the last one, again, it's almost $500 million now when you include the capital improvement projects as well. Being a housing advocate, I'm going to talk about housing then, whereas I do see the council's done good work in creating funding mechanisms for affordable housing, and the county housing agency's been great at implementing, adding stock to that inventory, but I do see bottlenecks still in funding where we're hitting infrastructure problems between departments that maybe we can work better to free up the funding in silos there in the budget to kind of better move a project along. Whereas if it's hitting an infrastructure, if it's wastewater or water supply, you know, we have housing that's ready to get going, but we gotta be able to better point money at those problems immediately when we need it to keep the project moving. It's just like any building project, you don't want to stop, you want to keep momentum going. So that's what I would change.
Thank you. You can pass the mic to your left, to Todd Ozaki.
Hi, Todd Ozaki again. Thank you for the question. So I was for the last 5 years, I've been part of the CIP, Capital Improvements Program team, and for the last 2 years, I've been with the Budget and Finance Committee. So if I had to critique the this year's budget, it was absolutely perfect. I do want to say, I do appreciate the process. I know there's some criticism of the process and who oversees it. I think it works really well. You know, the administration, what we do throughout the fiscal year is we see the projects through that were approved, right? We're working with each department. We have relationships with different agencies and with each department and the project managers. We see what's working, what doesn't work, and what slows things down. And along the way, we pivot. We make adjustments, which are reflected in the next year's budget. And when it comes to the council floor, I think this year they did County Council did a great job. They did add funds where they wanted to. Credit to Councilmember Kipukai, clearly in the audience. He was the one that proposed the amendment for the homeless increase. And credit to Councilmember Kaneshiro, for he's the chair of the finance. So thank you.
Thank you. John Matos?
County budget. First thing, audit everything. Audit everything. The mayor asked for $5 million for a skate park. And what you guys did, sitting county council members had give them, I think was $3 million. $3 million for skateboard, thousand skater, surfer, hunter, rancher, everything. I born and raised Kauai. Never need even $1 million for skateboard. Skaters go and skate with or without on skate park. I would like to audit these departments. All we do every year, the budget, grow. Where the money come for that? From you guys, from me. Our taxes funding on ever-growing government. We got to audit that and prioritize where we put in the money. Also, you guys able to, we able as county council members, I believe, you can take from Peter and pay Paul, so they're moving around monies or whatever. Prioritize, we all know what is the priorities on Kauai, I'm not going to repeat them, but I would like an audit of the budget or whatever. Some things was alarming to me, and it's partly why I'm here. Yeah, definitely audit the thing. I'm not saying they never do good jobs, but can be way better. I know that for a fact.
Thank you. Umi Martin.
Okay, so I'm not only a farmer, but I'm also a small business owner with Umi Store in Waimea, and we're just a small community convenience store, but we're a big part of the community, and we're really embraced by them. 100% of the homeless community comes to our store in Kika and in Waimea and probably even Hanapepe. And so I feel I am in touch with the needs of our houseless people, and I'm grateful for the county council for increasing the budget up to $1.5 million. If I can get on the council, I look forward to see what they did with that $1.5 million. You know, I cannot tell you how much stories I've heard about just their stuff being stolen. There's a houseless person that constantly get their things stolen. So I would love to see safe zone for houseless people, someplace even if they had lockers so they could keep what few possessions they have safe, place that they can sleep and park and just feel comfortable. And I think that is important. I look forward to continuing what the council had already started. Thank you.
Thank you. Errol Kaneshiro.
And Kaneshiro, obviously as a budget chair, I wouldn't change anything for the budget. And if I did, then we would have proposed it and got it passed. But, you know, I think we passed a really good budget this last time. Moving forward, we have some huge ticket items. We're going to have to find a long-term solution for our landfill. We're going to have to improve our sewers. We're going to have to expand our sewers. And these are items that can cripple our county if we make the wrong decision. You know, it's going to affect everyone. And so those are things that we really got to be aware of in the future. Moving forward, obviously, you see we've done a lot of low-income housing. There's even low-income housing on Rice Street, low-income housing across Taco Bell. Our focus next is going to have to be workforce housing. That's for workers that don't make too much money to be considered low-income, but don't make enough money to buy a current market rate house, which is in the $1.2 million range. So it is going to cost us a little more as a county to provide those type of housing, but that's what we're going to have to do.
Thank you. Michelle Correa.
Thank you. I first would like to acknowledge the council, the current council. As a candidate, we get we are not to blame. We don't get any of the blame for the past work of the council. But once you are on the council, you get all of the blame. And I'm ready to take that on. I really am. So I want to acknowledge the work that our council, our administration has done so far for Kauai. They are trying. I want to remind the community that your voice is so important in this process, and your voice needs to be persistent. There is no issue that we can just let go anymore. You have to come out. Your current council needs to hear from you. Our administration needs to hear from you in order to do good work for you. And I pledge to be that voice if I can be fortunate enough to be part of the council.
Thank you. Paul Applegate.
Paul Applegate. So having worked on budgets for 15 years at the Clark Police Department, I understand the process and understand that I'm not going to fault anything on their budget because they do the best they can with what they have. The pie is this big. You got to take slices and move it around. So for that, my priorities would be in the future would be housing, infrastructure, public safety, roads, and homeless. I think that all what Rumi said for taking further is for safe zones and to have a place where they could get food, all in one place, food, medical. We have wash their clothes. I mean, simple things like that that they would need, and I'll be totally accessible to everybody to piggyback on Michelle's statement. And you call me anytime, and I will answer my phone. I might not agree with everything you say, but I will hear you out. You will have a voice. Thank you.
Thank you. On to our last and final question. What are your strategies to address cost of living challenges for local residents and growing social service needs for our island? And we'll start with Dane Smith.
Okay, so to address cost of living on Kauai, I'm gonna always go back to housing. Yeah, we're looking at building more housing, and I think we're doing a good job at that as a county, but I want to focus on keeping people here that are in housing now. That gets overlooked a lot of the time. The people that are struggling are in houses too. They need relief as well. And what I see a lot of is we're an investment market for outside investors. That's a lot of the cause of why we have the housing crisis that we have, is because we're competing with such deep pockets there that I like what we've done already to kind of level the playing field and through property tax rates, and I'd like to kind of further that. That's how I see cost of living, because what does the council have to affect cost of living except property tax is their biggest tool? So I'd like to try and push those benefits on and kind of slide that onto our investors here so that they help kind of address that issue that we're paying for that inflated market that is a result of their investing here.
Thank you. Todd Ozaki.
Can you please repeat the question?
Sure. What are your strategies to address cost of living challenges for local residents and growing social service needs of our island?
Thank you. So, Todd Ozaki, thank you very much. So, I think we need to be realistic on what the county council can achieve. Cost of living obviously is affecting all of us. You can be making what used to be considered a very good paycheck and still be struggling very much today. I think I'm one of the very fortunate ones out of my classmates that are back on Kauai. I have a lot of friends still here, and there are some people that are really struggling, so I get it. I go back to what I'm standing on for my campaign is delivering the basics. I think no one has an answer to the cost of living. No one has a single answer that is going to solve everything. We have some issues, and we got to chip away at it. I think that what the council can approve, or what the council can do currently, is really to focus on delivering the basics, making it easier for everybody else to operate. Similar to my last answer, is allowing business owners and people to move about the island without having to worry about basic things like infrastructure, public health, and safety. I'll leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. John Matos.
Exactly that. I can piggyback right off of everything you just said. I 100% agree, and I would add to that, I like to see the counties owning municipalities, you know, generating income that can be used to take away the burden of some of the taxes. We can own generating assets for the county. Like, I don't know, renting out one space at our neighborhood center, pop-ups, and taking some of that proceeds, staying in that community. If we can own assets as a county, collaborating with private, whatever, businesses and billionaires maybe, or get them to do a little bit more, help us build something that can generate money that we can offset our tax burden. I would start there looking into something like that. Thank you.
Thank you. Umi Martin.
I don't know if I can add on to what was already said, because it was some good things, but it's such a complicated issue. Like, how are we going to literally reduce the cost of living. It's something that we don't even know how to do. We can do small things that can make a difference, like our property taxes. As a person that grew up, born and raised here, like I, there was times when I had to go fishing for eat dinner, and I was perfectly happy doing that. Going to the mountains for get meat. That's all part of it. That's all part of how we survive on Kauai, but there's no easy solutions, and we're not going to find the solution right here. It's going to take hard work and constant attention, and just trying to find a little bit here and a little bit there. It's the most complicated issue we have is cost of living, and there's nothing we're going to do here for lower it. It's frustrating. Kauai is the most beautiful place on earth, so of course we're going to attract people from all over the world that want to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Errol Kaneshiro.
Can you repeat the question again?
Yes. What are your strategies to address cost of living challenges for local residents and growing social service needs of our island?
Yeah, it's a kind of loaded question. I can say I support Kauai and I support Kauai businesses, and that's what we need to do. You know, Kauai businesses provide jobs for Kauai people. Those jobs provide wages for them. It provides wages that they can support their family and, support their family, live in houses, purchase houses. So supporting Kauai business is number one. As far as reducing our cost of living, I think it's very hard to do. On the county end, what we can do is make it more efficient and quick to get your stuff done. Time is money. If we're holding up a project based on permits, if we're holding up a project based on the county not getting to your stuff right away, that's something we need to improve on. I'm not saying we skip any process that we need to go through, but just improve upon our efficiency, because time is money, and if we hold projects up, then it costs everybody more money.
Thank you. Michelle Correa.
Aloha. That is, reducing the cost of living is such a complex issue. Again, something that is difficult on the county level to do. We have very little to do with what wages are paid to our people that live here, except for county wages. Everything else is paid, through our employers. I think helping in the social services realm is where the county can have an effect there. There are experts in this field now in social services, and the county can grant funds to these specific services. I think I would reach out again to these experts to advise us on how to help people that they're already helping now. How can we expand the help in that sense? Again, cost of living is something that we've always dealt with. As local people, we move on. We just keep working at it. Mahalo.
Thank you. Paul Applegate.
Thank you, Paul Applegate. So when you talk about cost of living, the biggest contributors to that is housing, food, utilities, and gas. And as a county council, can have a shot at doing something about is housing, workforce housing, the restrictive workforce housing for residents. And as far as food, is to have growing food here, more than, cattle, sheep, and produce. That's the ones that we can have the most impact on, I believe. And that's what will be my focus. Thank you.
Thank you. Tricky Fernandez.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Yes. What are your strategies to address cost of living challenges for local residents and growing social service needs of our island?
I think housing, affordability, infrastructure, traffic are all symptoms of an underlying problem, and that problem is outside economic interests and over-tourism. I would tap into Governor Green's green fee, try to allocate money towards us. I would expand Haena Park, make tourists pay for parking. I would tax the tourists and tax the rich.
Thank you. Jimmy Trujillo.
I'll be short, brief, because he just said it, tax the rich and tax the tourists, because the Kama'aina is already paying enough.
Thank you. Michael Kutz.
Aloha. Like Todd mentioned, I would look at the powers that the county holds. A lot of the issues that make affordability difficult, like gas prices, the council has very little control over that. Even grocery prices in the store, what we can work on is housing. And I feel that's by far the biggest issue facing the island and facing the council. I would love to see it be easier to build smaller homes on ag land and real ag land, not billionaire gentleman homes, but actual farmers. Streamline the process for prefab locally made homes. Rubber stamp designs that are approved by architects that obviously are still in code, and use AI software that makes it from, I think currently right now in permitting, it's about 200 days to 2 weeks. And there is a staff shortage there, and I think these software programs will really help. And I would just like to make it easier for locals to build on their own land or their family's land. I would also like to see, and we're fortunate we have some of the lowest, or we do have the lowest property taxes in the country, but you own land that's been in your family since statehood, you shouldn't have to pay taxes. I truly believe that. And I think all these small little levers will make affordability easier and better for the people of this island. Thank you.
Thank you. Skylar Workman.
I see that a big portion of our cost problem comes from people investing in our community to make money. It's less of investing for our community and more investing in the pockets. You've got landowners who have multiple houses charging ridiculous rent rates just because everyone else is. You've got shopping centers that charge not only rent, but also percentage of income, so that local businesses have to struggle and charge you more. And it all leads into more people investing in our island just to make money. We need more investment in our actual community where people can have workshops to actually gain better access to building businesses so local communities can survive. You know, with local businesses, you have more local job security. You don't have to rely on one corporation. And honestly, for the social service part, I believe better clarity and more advertisement to the community would be best. I know that there's a lot of people who don't actually know about certain programs. Me personally, I've not heard of a lot of things that have been happening on island in terms of what's available to me. And yeah, we need to do better.
Thanks. You can pass the mic to your right to Yelena Oakman.
Well, I would definitely support local business. Small businesses, try to find a way how we can keep business growing, and also how we can find solution for people who are trying to grow food, to farmers, to grow more food that available and affordable, that people can buy locally, and also in our supermarkets to have more local grow food. In regards of cutting off the budget for the socials, like the aging population, we need to find solutions and also keep supporting. And I know that YWCA was to be cut off the funding, so keep this as well. You know, so this is very important that we support our community on all levels.
Thank you. Herman Wilson.
Hello again, Herman Wilson. Yeah, it's a tough one. You know, the county can only do so much. I don't know if the county would be able to, you know, come up with ways to work more with communities and small businesses. I think looking more into self-sustainability would be something that would save costs for the communities in getting our own produce instead of bringing them in and importing. Small businesses, cost of living is the largest impact today. It's just crazy out there. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you. John Montemayor.
Hello again, guys. John Montemayor. To cut expenses for families and people, like anything else, I think my vision would be educating the public. You know, as far as the public out there, if they had like a center, like a task force they could go to get educated upon how to spend things, how to buy things, how to save money, how to spend money, I think they would help a lot. You know, within with the general public, everybody here is very intelligent, how to spend money wisely, how to invest wisely. And my angle is to create some kind of educational program for the general public, how to sustain themselves in these bad economic times. Mahalo.
Thank you. Nelson Mukai.
Okay, for me, Nelson Mukai. Hey, for me, it's a simple problem of supply and demand. The more supply we have, the demand will go down and we'll be able to afford houses. So we have to build houses to solve the problem. It's a worldwide problem, supply and demand. We don't have enough housing. We got homeless, we got all of the problems, yeah? So we gotta build, that's all. We gotta teach these kids how to build houses for the next generation. They can build their ADUs, they can build whatever, you know? That's the problem. And I wanna solve the inflation problem too, you know? And I have an idea, but it's very simple, you know? Just stop the minimum wage, cap it at $20. No more minimum wage go up. When the minimum wage goes up, the inflation goes up. And we'll never stop inflation because we can get paid $100 an hour. $100 an hour, oh man, inflation.
Thank you. Keola Ka'imina'au, well.
Hello again, Keola Ka'imina'au, and again, I seem to be the last one and they pretty much cover a lot. But, you know, on county council, if I was on county council, like how Mr. Fernandez Trujillo was saying, you know, why are our local people paying more tax, property tax, every time somebody builds next to them? You know, you had your house for years, and then someone then comes in, builds a building next to you, or even an apartment next to you, and your taxes go up. I think we should put a cap on the local residents that are already here. That they should be a cap just for them for pay to tax the investors that come in. Cost of living, you know, just like Bob Marley said, cost of living won't get so high. Even the rich and poor, they can fight with each other. But you know, once you just take care of each other, and I think we sorry, run out of time.
Thank you. Taylor Shigemoto.
All right, I'll try and squeeze in 3 minutes. Still 3 points in 1 minute. Again, thank you, Taylor Shigemoto. So number one, work very closely with the state and federal legislators. Because housing is our number one issue, we need to keep our housing budget as robust as possible so that when we go to the federal level and we can leverage as much funds as we can by keeping our county housing budget robust. Number two, is one of seven on the county council is not powerful enough to, I think, make that kind of dramatic impact. So again, working with the state and federal legislators to leverage that. On a smaller scale, one idea that I have is vehicle registration tax. We pay for our vehicles, we pay the registration tax. Why do we pay that every year? So I would like to work closely with our state legislators to see if we can just pay that one time. And I'm out of time, so I want to share two
things. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you to all the candidates. That concludes our Kauai County Council Candidate Forum.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everybody. Spectators, we've got the mayoral candidate forum in 15 minutes. So take a break, take a little walk around, and we've got mayoral candidates in 15 minutes. The format will be the same. I do want to take some time to thank our sponsors, the Hawaii Department of Health, Kauai Community Radio, Slow Money Hawaii, Hawaii People's Fund, and Hawaii Pacific Health. Thanks also to HAPA for moderating this event, and of course, Malama Kauai.
Absolutely.